From the land of Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 14th day of September, 2021. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. We'll update the crop conditions in Illinois, Minnesota, and Iowa with the state statisticians from those states and hear the latest from the National Crop Progress Report as well. And then Gary Schnitke will be with us to talk about last week's WASDE report, the season's average cash price. He's taken a look at that from an historical perspective, and frankly, he says, you know, that 545 average they have for corn, it's not likely to stick around, at least for not that long of a period, and by that he means a lengthier time than maybe you're thinking. And then, as we wrap up our time together, we'll discuss the weather forecast to that with Don Day at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, all on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn settled at $5.20¼. That was up 7 for the day. The March up 6¼ at $5.28¼. And the May, $5.33¼, 6 higher. November beans at $12.82½, down 2¼. January, $12.91¾, a penny and 3/4 lower. The bean meal for the day, $3.50 lower. Bean oil up 94 cents. And soft bread winter wheat, 13¾ cents higher at $7.75 on the afternoon. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana now joins us to discuss what happened in Chicago. It's an interesting day, Wayne. By the way, thank you for being with us. And first, maybe you ought to talk about what, if anything, is happening in your area in the way of harvest.
Oh, well, you know, we've been going along pretty strong over here, mainly in the beans. We don't have that much corn at all that's been harvested. The beans, I'm going to say, are going to average plus or minus 2 to 4 bushels, around 70. You know, we haven't seen anything under about 64 so far on the yields that I've heard from people, and we have heard 178, but most of it is plus or minus 2 bushels from 70, 68 to 72. So real good there. Corn right around 200, not quite as good as last year. Very, very few, probably less than 5 reports of corn harvest that way, running probably around the 23% moisture that way. But, you know, we heard some yields over in Illinois, though. I think that they're running 220 to 230, about 24%. In a lot of the areas, the guys are over there. They generally are 240. They were looking for 240 to 250. So that is going along that way. Just a good yields, but a little bit lower than what they were hoping for.
And is that the reason corn was up today? Is there something else behind that market move?
Well, I kind of think it was the Stats Canada report where they kicked out, and they lowered their numbers. 21.7 million metric tons are expecting 21.9, and that's a whole lot lower than last. And the USDA is still at 23, so that, and then French put out their number, and it was way low also. A lot of talk that there's going to be tightness in the Minneapolis wheat again. I don't know, full surge. I had one customer call me up and said one of his advisors is saying that could go as high as $18, but I'm not saying that. I'm saying that a customer told me that. So a lot of buying in the wheat, and I think that slid over into the corn because the wheat has been substitution for corn, and it's going to all go for wheat this year, especially as for grinding and milling.
Yeah, so what a change we've had over the past 4 months, where we were talking about wheat being used as a feed grain, and now maybe in shorter supply, although that's yet to be really fleshed out, and certainly would be able to lift the corn along with whatever we have out in the field to what a price is already to be pretty good. Although USDA's season's average cash price at $5.45 is still above what producers are likely to be able to get out of the field for their corn crop. What are they telling you about that?
Well, you know, here we are, we're sitting, it's 5:21, and most everybody's 35 to 40 cents under for the harvest time here now, at least up in our area, and they've taken those premiums away pretty much. I think the last premiums go away during this week. So, and we're seeing that down the river that they would lower their basis as usual years. But we are seeing some elevators open up down at the Gulf, and we are going to see, we did see some barges unloaded at a couple of the places down there to get some loading going. So, and I think 3 to 4 more elevators are supposed to open this week, Todd. So if we could get the export business going again, there is the worry that they won't be able to get everything shipped out like they wanted to, losing this 2 weeks here on loadout. So that's one of the things we might lose out on some that way. But all in all, it looks like we're going to get that flowing around the right way down in the river.
Any worries about Nicholas and moving through Texas and along the coast at all?
They're saying there's no worry for more damage as such as far as the elevators go or whatever, but it is a very, very slow-moving storm, and it's going to drop anywhere from 2 to 10 inches of rain in a lot of places. And that, of course, will hamper working on repairing some of the stuff in the rain now where it's coming in that way, and it's going to hamper some of the unloading and stuff along as in that area. So, and some of the areas are going to get too much rain for harvest down in that area and could damage some crops that way, but not a real big area being affected by it, but it could delay a few things.
The soy complex is a 6-month market for weather and otherwise. North America, South America, what do we know about the beginning of the season in Brazil and Argentina?
Well, they got some rains across part of the area. We saw some, a little better than usual last year where they didn't start on the dates they could, and that, of course, pushed them back and cut back on the safrinha crop. Today and tomorrow is the first day they can do it. But 66% of Brazil's bean soy areas are short of water, and there's like 45 or so percent that are in drought conditions. So they do need some rains. It looks like they're going to get it some more here that way, but they'd sure like to see a little bit more coming at them when they're in short of moisture at this point in time so they can get their planting done and timely. So, but they are talking about a lot more acres of beans down there this year. So maybe we don't want to see it rain quite that much down there.
Indeed. Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
All righty.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 87% of the corn crop across the nation has dented. 81% is the rolling 5-year average. 37% of that crop is now mature. 31% is the rolling 5-year average. And 4% of the crop has been harvested. 5% is the 5-year average. And the state of Texas is leading harvest now with 63% of their crop in the bin. Normally, that's at 61% at this time of year. The condition of the crop is said to be 44% good and 14% excellent. That's down 1 percentage point from the previous week. Soybeans are dropping leaves at the rate of 38% of the crop. 29% is the 5-year average. It is said to be in 45% good and 12% excellent condition. And finally this week, 12% of the winter wheat crop has now been seeded. The rolling 5-year average is 8%. Here are the updates from the statisticians in Iowa, Illinois, and Minnesota.
This is Rebecca Alter, statistician for the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office. It was a very dry week across most of the state. Field activities included harvesting hay and corn silage. Some reports of old crop corn being moved to town prior to harvest were received. Crop maturity advanced across the state. Corn in or beyond the dent stage reached 87%, 3 days ahead of the 5-year average. Almost 1/3 of the corn crop has reached maturity, 2 days ahead of normal. Iowa's corn condition rated 59% good to excellent. There were scattered reports of corn for grain being harvested. Soybeans coloring or beyond reached 67%, 3 days ahead of the 5-year average. Soybeans dropping leaves reached 30%, also 3 days ahead of normal. Soybean condition was rated 62% good to excellent. There were also a few isolated reports of soybeans being harvested during the week. The third cutting of alfalfa hay reached 92% complete, 2 days ahead of the 5-year average. In some areas of the state, farmers were starting on the fourth cutting of hay. Pasture condition was rated 35% good to excellent. In general, livestock has done well in spite of the heat. There were reports of low water levels in creeks and ponds for livestock use. For the USDA NAS Iowa Field Office, this is Rebecca Alter.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois, with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week's weather was dry across Illinois, with temperatures averaging slightly above normal. Rainfall averaged nearly 1/4 inch, almost 1/2 inch below normal. Only the Eastern District of Illinois had above normal rainfall last week. Temperatures averaged 70.3 degrees, less than 1 degree above normal. Southern parts of the Prairie State were cooler than average, and the rest of the state was warmer than normal. For crop progress, 63% of soybeans were turning color, compared to 44% 1 year ago and 49% for the 5-year average. 33% of acres were dropping leaves, compared to 19% normally. Soybean conditions declined from last week and were rated 11% very poor to poor, 28% fair, and 61% good to excellent. For corn, 93% of acres have reached the dent stage or beyond, and that is 8 points ahead of the 5-year average. 51% of corn acres have reached maturity, compared to 37% normally. Corn harvest is now 1% complete. Corn conditions declined slightly and were rated 9% very poor to poor, 29% fair, and 62% good to excellent. Pasture conditions also declined to 18% very poor to poor, 35% fair, and 47% good to excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Corn dented reached 86%, that's 6 days behind last year, but 5 days ahead of the average. Corn mature reached 34%, that's 3 days behind last year, but 6 days ahead of the average. Corn harvested for grain reached 3%. Corn harvested for silage reached 71%, that's 3 days ahead of last year and 2 weeks ahead of the 5-year average. Corn condition rated 39%, good to excellent. Soybeans coloring reached 86%, that's 2 days ahead of last year and over a week ahead of the 5-year average. Soybeans dropping leaves reached 49%, that's 3 days ahead of last year and 6 days ahead of average. Soybeans harvested reached 3%. Soybean condition rated 37%, good to excellent. Dry beans dropping leaves reached 91%. Dry beans harvested rated 35% complete. And the dry bean condition rated 19%, good to excellent. Potatoes were 31% harvested. Potato condition rated 60%, good to excellent. Sunflower condition rated 40%, good to excellent. Sugar beets reached 7% harvested, and sugar beet condition rated 73%, good to excellent. Pasture condition was 32% very poor, 31% poor, 28% fair, 6% good, and 3% excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. Coming up Thursday of this week at 11 a.m. Central Time, please join me for a free webinar from the Farm Doc team. Scott Irwin and Joe Jansen will be talking about the price outlook for corn and soybeans going forward through this marketing year. You won't want to miss it. Get yourself signed up right now today. You can do that at the Farm Doc Daily website. That's Farm Doc Daily. Illinois.edu. Look for the webinars. And once you're signed up for that Grain Outlook webinar, you'll be signed up for the rest of them for this fall. There'll be 3 or 4 of them yet to come. And you can always go back and look at those that have already taken place. They're part of the Farm Doc team's mission to bring you the latest information that's impacting agriculture in Illinois, the Midwest, and across the world. Sign up today for the Price Outlook Farm Doc Daily Meeting webinar. That's this Thursday at 11 o'clock online at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu or look in willag.org, our website, inside the calendar, and click on the red link there. You'll find a link inside of it to the Farm Doc Daily registration page. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, Gary Schnittke, agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the U of I. Now joins us to discuss his latest article posted to the Farm Doc Daily website. It's about the season's average cash price, or the marketing year average, and he uses it in an historical perspective to explore what might come in the future. Gary, thank you so much for being with us. Can you tell me a little bit about what you looked at?
Yeah, so we do know what WASDE is projecting for the 21 marketing year, which began this September and will end next August. And they're projecting 545 for corn, 545 per bushel, and 1290 for soybeans. And I wanted to see how that looked from a historical perspective and then analyze whether or not those should be expected moving forward. So that's sort of the historical take on this.
So when you looked at it, what did you find?
So if you look at commodity prices, typically what you see is a long period of a constant long-run price. You see prices above it some years, some years you see it below, but those prices are not trending up or down. Since 2006, our prices have averaged $4.38 for corn and $10.63 for soybeans. And given that we usually see those plateaus last for a very long time, you should be expecting corn and soybean prices to go back down to those levels and spend actually a considerable amount of time below those. So even if we're looking at $5.45, which is a good price for 2021, and $12.90 for soybeans, history would say that we're going to be moving back down and keeping, and over the long run, probably approaching those $4.38 average for corn and $10.63 for soybeans.
Were there patterns of interest you made note of?
So when we're looking at the historical data, you will often see long periods where you're below that long run price. The last one that we saw was from 2014 to 2019, when we had corn prices averaging $3.90 and soybean prices in the low nines. Those should be expected again, and so we're probably in store for one of those periods in the future. Again, not likely this year, maybe not for 2022. It's difficult to predict when those things will happen, but sometime in the future, we will again be looking at prices below those long-run averages.
Interesting.
Yeah, we in most years, we have prices below the long-run average, and then occasionally we hit those high prices like we are right now. Let's just don't get used to the high prices.
Thank you, Gary. Gary Schnittke is an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. On this Tuesday, let's check the weather forecast with Don Day. He's at Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start closer to your part of the world, at least closer to you than it is to me, in those areas where they have suffered so much drought in parts of California and moving to the west. Is there relief there in the way of rainfall or lower temperatures coming?
Yeah, a little bit of both. Actually, there was not a lot, but some areas late last week in Washington, Oregon, and Northern California actually got a little rain, and there's going to be a much more active pattern developing late this weekend and early next week across the western United States. In fact, we're going to see a very vigorous storm roll into Washington and Oregon, and then some of that storm will go into central and northern California by this weekend and into the early parts of next week, bringing maybe even some rain to some of those western wildfire areas. And that will also bring cooler temperatures. We're going to see that system then go across the northern Rockies, then into the northern plains by the middle of next week. So there's going to be a significant cool down in some of the northern and western areas of the United States with this weather pattern change. Could even see the first snows in the high Rockies by the early to middle parts of next week as well. Now, at the same time that trough digs into the west, southwest winds aloft will pour in plenty of warmth into the Midwest and Corn Belt. Now, eventually that coolness that's out west will come in, but it's going to take probably 9 or 10 days before it does. In the meantime, going to be pretty warm for the central and eastern parts of the U.S.
Oh, fun fact about Washington State, since you mentioned a little rainfall there. Oddly enough, Washington is the state in the nation that has the highest average corn yield year in and year out. This year is unique because in this last WASDE report, their yield dropped by 4.5 bushels to the acre from about 219.5 to, I think, 215. The state of Illinois, which is a much larger corn state, Washington only harvests about 80,000 acres of corn. In the state of Illinois, we harvest a whole lot more than that, in the millions, of course. We have a 214 average, so had a really good summer this year, but I kind of like it to be cooler and wetter going a little bit into this area so we can get grain fill. But it just sounds to me as if you're telling me now dry conditions and warm conditions will continue, which means it'll be great for harvest, I guess, over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, there is going to be some shower activity, but it's not going to amount to much. It'll favor Minnesota, Iowa, Wisconsin, along that frontal boundary. And then some of the moisture from Nicholas is going to bring some rains to parts of Missouri, far southern Illinois, far southern Indiana, and Ohio. But that middle part of the Corn Belt, probably over the next week or so, looking at only modest to very light amounts of rain.
And then finally, in the hard red winter wheat growings of the Western Plains, particularly Oklahoma, Kansas, the western part of both of those areas, what kind of conditions will they have to sow wheat in?
Well, they need to right now, what they would like to see is maybe some nice, cool, wet weather settling on in with this pattern. Unfortunately, while I do see a little bit of shower and thunderstorm activity with this change in the weather out west, those hard winter wheat areas are going to maybe not get as much as areas off to the north and west. It's not going to be completely dry either, but there's going to be heat and wind for another week. So that's going to dry out soil moisture conditions even a little bit more. So less than optimal conditions for the sowing process down there, although conditions by late next week should get a little bit better.
And finally, since we're going southwestward, we probably should talk about the hurricane in Texas and what its route might be. This one looks like it could drop a lot of rainfall across the ports in Texas, which don't generally handle that much grain, but it got shifted because of Iowa, sort of that direction. Out of New Orleans into Texas, and now it looks like this particular hurricane might dump rain on both places in big amounts.
Yeah, the heaviest rain is going to be in the eastern counties and the southeast counties of Texas, especially along the Texas-Louisiana border, then across central and southern areas of Louisiana, where rainfall is going to be, you know, 6, 7, 8 inches in some areas there. That's going to be causing some more flooding concerns and affecting those port areas. It's going to be just basically a tropical depression, tropical storm, and then continuing to dissipate. But the way the pattern is set up, that heavy moisture from that Hurricane Nicholas is going to kind of sit there along the Gulf Coast. So it's going to be an area that will impact those areas with some very heavy rain, more of a problem with rain than the wind.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather from Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joined us here on the Closing Market Report for this Tuesday afternoon. It is a production of Illinois Public Media.